Ooh, that was a tough one tonight. Welcome to Packers in Law, everyone. I am Andy Smith, the Packer noob.
And I'm Jake Speckard, the Packer expert. And you feeling okay over there, my friend?
I'm okay.
You hit that with such gusto. I'm a little worried.
If you hit it with gusto every week, eventually your throat is just going to give out. And apparently that's happening to me. We are working on a theme song. Hopefully it will come soon.
I have heard some things.
Yes, we're talking to several artists. Paul McCartney is interested. Bon Iver just came out with a new album and wants to kind of expand their reach, Justin Vernon's reach. Coldplay has contacted us. I kind of want to shy away from that. They're a little too, I don't know, they're just not our style.
Right. I also heard that we were in brief talks with Al Michaels after we featured him on our podcast last week. But
Sunday night.
I don't know if those talks Sunday were going anywhere. Night. Probably not.
We'll see. He seems to have backed off the table. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know. He kind of went his own way. So
we are here tonight with a special late night version of Packers in Law. Of course, anyone listening doesn't really realize that, but we are recording much later than usual.
Yes. So it is officially evening.
I'll be talking with this sexy voice the entire time as we talk about the Green Bay Packers and how they play football.
Careful, don't scare away too many of the faithful here. There's not many of them.
Oh, we just gained a lot more faithful. Anyway, the Packers did not play this weekend. If you're listening to the show and you don't know that, I don't know why you're listening to this show. It was the bye week, a rather early bye week, that couldn't have come at a better time, at least injury-wise. And so we'll start there, Jake, going over some of these injuries. We have quite a few Packers that are still being evaluated. Matthews, Jones, Burnett, Ripkowski, am I saying that right?
Ripkowski.
Ripkowski. That doesn't sound like a real name. That sounds like a nickname.
Sounds like a name someone would give their kid in hopes that they would be a professional football player.
Okay. Or I would think more like hockey player. Anyway, still being evaluated. You want to talk a little bit about those injuries?
Yeah. So, like you said, the bye week was in week four, which was last week. And we did talk about this a little bit on the last podcast or even at the beginning of the season. In that is pretty early, or considered to be an early, but I mean, it is the
literally. It's as early as it could be.
It's early as you can be, but it's usually, you know, it's not considered a good thing in most cases. More teams want to kind of have it more towards the middle of the season, break it up more, so you don't have such a long haul towards the end of the year. But as it turns out, like you said, this bye could not have come at a better time for the Packers. We have had a rash of injuries early this season. So basically, the people who returned to practice today, I'm told, were Clay Matthews, Dayton Jones, Morgan Burnett, Aaron Ripkowski, and the Troy Guyon. They were being evaluated today. I did read further that they all participated in practice in some capacity. The name, of course, we didn't talk about in those first five names, Sam Shields, who, in light of our pass defense that really needs some work and some help, Sam Shields, still out with a concussion, still going through protocol. I saw one quote that said he is quote-unquote improving, which who knows what that means, but is still out. It doesn't look real likely he'll be playing on Sunday, but we'll bring you more news on that.
Which, by the way, I want to say some people might be very frustrated by that. I think this is a good sign that the NFL and the Packers in particular are taking these concussions seriously now. And that it is for Shields' long-term health and well-being. This is good. I know it's frustrating, but I'm in favor of this.
Yes, I'm in favor as well. I have seen things on social media, people, you know, questioning his toughness. And really, when it comes to concussion, I really think that's an inappropriate assumption to make, saying that he's not tough or that he's not, you know, willing to sacrifice for his team, or, you know, willing to play hurt for his team. I mean, these are concussions. These are serious brain injuries. You know, there's no such thing as a minor concussion. And keep in mind, Shields had a concussion last year and missed four games for that as well. So this is the second concussion in less than a year, which is, you know, pretty serious already. And he's had two concussions in his previously in his career. So this being his fourth one, I mean, obviously, you know, you have to kind of tread lightly here. And that's what the Packers and the NFL appear to be doing. So, again, I want him to get back on the field just as much as any other Packer fan. But this is the way it has to be. So some other players that we are not yet getting back, there were some questions about this I saw on the Packers website, they do kind of a mailbox for people sending questions, and they were wondering. Mike Pinnell and Dimitri Goodson, two players who have been out so far this year due to suspension. Some people, you know, it was for four games, and so some people were wondering if they were going to come back this week, since it has been 4 weeks of NFL game
regular
action.
Regular season, yeah.
Yes. But that's not how it works. The wording is very literal. It is a four-game suspension, not a four-week suspension.
Yep.
So after this game against the Giants, Pinnell and Goodson will be eligible to return to the roster, and I'm sure they will. Otherwise, and, you know, the Packers weren't interested in bringing them back. They would have probably tried to trade or release them by now. So we'll get them back week six, and that will be good because we'll have more depth at both defensive line and defensive back, places
right.
where we could definitely use that.
Tell us about tight end, Cook.
Right. Jared Cook, high ankle sprain against the Lions.
After one catch, I believe.
After one
pretty
catch.
Early on.
There were a couple other passes that were thrown his direction. It seemed like they were making a concerted effort to get him involved, which that was good to see. But, yeah, he got the high ankle sprain. I'm told these injuries are pretty tricky. You can be out anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months to longer. It really depends on the severity and where exactly the sprain is located on the ankle. So he hasn't practiced yet. Again, I would probably say at this point it's doubtful he'll play on Sunday. But again, if there's any update on that, follow us on Twitter or Facebook, and we'll post that as we hear it. And then just kind of a minor note here. The Packers added fullback Joe Carriage to the practice squad. They had a vacant spot after they promoted defensive lineman Brian Price. And so, you know, if you have a vacant spot in there, you know, it's like, well, you might as well add somebody. So I guess they like this guy. You know, they scouted him and like him enough to bring him aboard. This probably has something to do with, as we mentioned, Repkowski on the injury report. He did hurt his back against the Lions. But apparently, from what I've read, he's full go, no concerns. But I suppose, you know, just in case if he does have complications with that, at least then they have a fullback on the practice squad that they could use to in his stead if that were to happen.
Jake, let me ask you a question somewhat along the lines. The way I get here is that Carriage is a fullback backfield. So I'm going to ask this question. I don't remember if we talked about this or not, but a few weeks ago it broke that C.J. Spiller, a veteran running back, was with Buffalo and the Saints for a little while, met with the Packers. Obviously, that didn't lead to him being signed. This week, however, he did sign with the Seattle Seahawks and actually scored a touchdown this weekend. My question is, did the Packers miss something there? How do you feel about the backfield? Shields has not, Starks has not been good this year. Do you think the pass on Spiller was a bad idea, seeing that he at least has some legs left in the NFL?
Yeah, that is interesting. Because C.J. Spiller is the kind of running back that I don't think the Packers have had a running back like him in a long time. Kind of a, you know, third down back, more of a receiver, a big receiving threat out of the backfield. Like, you know, think of a Darren Sproles type of running back. You know, I know Starks to this point this season, I mean, again, it's only three games, but we use the data we have, has not been great. I mean, he probably had his best season last year, you know, in the wake of Lacy's not being in shape. But, you know, the Packers did re-sign him to a two-year deal this summer. It's very unlike them to do something like that, even if, you know, it's not like they're paying Starks a bazillion dollars, but it's very unlike them to sign a player to a longer term deal and then, you know, suddenly decide, well, maybe he's not working out. Now, obviously, maybe there is some doubt because they still brought in Spiller for a visit. I'm okay with it. I would have been interested to see if they had signed him, how they would have, you know, used him. The thing is, a lot of the things that Spiller does is he, like I said, he's a very good receiver out of the backfield. You know, the Packers already do a lot of that with Randall Cobb, and they're starting to do more of it with Ty Montgomery now that he is healthy. So I don't really know if, from that perspective, if there was really room for him, or maybe they just did it to kind of try to, you know, light a fire under Starks and try to get him to, you know, perform a little better. Who knows? I mean, the Packers have access to way more information than we do. So, but like I said, I'm okay with it for now. Obviously, he did score, so I know there will be Packer fans who will say, oh, we missed out on a, you know, potential, you know, good player. And, you know, maybe we did, but I think it's undecided at this point. But I'm okay with it for now. We'll see how much Spiller ends up playing with Seattle, who has quite a few running backs themselves. They have their starter, Thomas Rawls, who's out right now. So I feel like that's probably why they signed him. But overall, I don't think this is something to, you know, don't grab your torches and pitchforks and go to Ted Thompson's house. I don't think it's that it merits that.
Also, point. You should probably never do that.
Also, yes, general. Never do that really, because that's a bad idea.
And it's not like CJ Spiller tore it up. He had two attempts for 12 yards on Sunday.
Well, and that's the thing as well. He's only had really one. In 2012, he had a pretty good season with Buffalo. But, you know, this guy was a, gosh, I want to say a top 15, maybe even a top 10 pick in the when he was drafted.
Has not he was good in Buffalo for at least, I think, a year, maybe two.
Well, that's and a, then yeah. Well,
he went to New Orleans, and that kind of he lost his spot.
And, you know, I was excited when he went to New Orleans because I thought that he would kind of have a chance to get his career back on track with them, being that they're, you know, you think New Orleans these days, you think of a high-powered offense, you know, multiple weapons, lots of weapons, you know, good weapons out of the backfield, and I felt like he would fit right into that. But like I said, yeah, he did have that one good year at Buffalo in 2012, I think it was. But overall, really, I would say he's not lived up to his first-round draft status. Based on what he's done so far, there's not really a reason to believe that we could sign him now and, you know, as a third down back, he would suddenly become that first round talent. So we'll see what happens with him, but I'm fine with Lacy and Starks and Ripkowski as our backfield that, you know, and then, like I said, Cobb and Montgomery shifting in there from time to time. Works for me.
Excellent. Let's go, since we're going around the league already, let's go to another, well, not another, but a former Packer, John Kuhn. Scores three touchdowns yesterday. Your thoughts?
To me, this is the classic fullback football game where, you know, yeah, he scored three touchdowns, but if you look at it, he had 12 total yards. I believe he scored on 2 1-yard runs and maybe like a 3-yard pass. I think all touchdowns were less than 5 yards in distance. So, you know, classic fullback right there. I thought that was kind of fun, you know. Obviously, a lot of Packer fans are upset that we did not re-sign Kuhn. Part of that was the Saints were playing in San Diego yesterday. You know, you could hear, like, there were enough Saints fans in the stadium that were chanting. You could hear the Kuhn chant because I watched the highlights yesterday. And, yeah, you could hear the Kuhn chant.
Kuhn!
We understand what the Kuhn chant is.
Just every time. I'm a true Packer fan. It's one of my favorite parts about becoming a Packer fan is I got to do that. Sunday,
and that is the biggest bummer. We can't do that anymore unless you watch the Saints.
The Saints stink this year, apparently.
Yeah, they got their first one of the season yesterday, so they are 1-3. Definitely have not lived up to expectations. But I thought it was fun to see John Kuhn. You know, somebody who maybe some people think he's past his prime, and really based on his age, he might be. But to have a day like that is always kind of fun for, you know, a guy who's not an offensive juggernaut by any stretch. So yeah. I thought that was kind of fun. The other thing that I noticed...
Wait, who did that?
I don't know, Andy. What's his name again?
You have to say it, and then I have to...
John Kuhn.
Kuhn!
All right, we're moving away from John Kuhn before he gets out of here.
Kuhn!
The other thing I noticed yesterday in this crazy league of ours is that Julio Jones... very good wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. Had 300 yards receiving against the now Josh Norman-less Carolina Panthers yesterday.
Wow, I did not know that. I'm just finding out about this at this time right now as I'm looking on the show notes.
I didn't write this down in the show notes, but Matt Ryan passed for 500 yards in that game yesterday. And that is the first time in league history that a quarterback has thrown for 500 yards and a receiver has caught 300 yards in the same game. On the same team, obviously. So that is a monumental milestone. I mean, that is a ton of yards. I think that's only happened 8 times in league history. I'm sure somebody can correct me on that, but I think it's happened less than 10 times, 300 yards receiving. Now, this is relevant to the Packers in that the Packers do, in fact, play the Falcons in Week 8. Now, if I recall our first episode, I did pick the Packers, I believe, to lose to the Falcons, and my reasoning was that it seems like when these two teams play, it's usually pretty close. Either the Packers win close or the Falcons have won big. Now, of course, the exception to that would be the 2010 championship game where the Packers, after a close first half, basically, you know, ran roughshod over the Falcons in the second half. But with this in mind, and again, based on how bad our pass defense has been, this has to be a huge concern for the Packers coming up. I mean, if he can catch 300 yards against the Panthers, who, you know, don't... I mean, their pass defense is not outstanding, but it's probably ranked higher than ours, I would imagine. That could be trouble. We might see the first ever
400. He's going for 400.
I was going to say, we might see the first ever 400-yard receiving game if Shields is not back by then, or if Randall doesn't rebound, or if we don't employ some kind of new strategy in defending the pass. So just keep that in mind. Week 8, Julio Jones could make history. You never know. We'll wait and see. And then the last bit of relevant news we have here around the league is that the Bears – and the Lions played yesterday, a little NFC North showdown, and the Bears won 17-14, which I don't think a lot of people expected based on the fact that the Bears were starting Brian Hoyer at quarterback, who was their backup, obviously. And it was kind of a low-scoring, kind of classic NFC North battle, and the Bears won. So I think that puts them at was that their first run of the season?
I think they, 1-3.
Okay, and then I think that also means that the Lions are also 1-3?
Yeah, yes, that's correct.
They beat the Colts in week one, and they've lost now 3-0 loss to the Titans on that fourth down catch by Andre Johnson. Then the Packers obviously beat them a week ago.
And
then
so we are 2-1, so we are second place in the Vikings. No matter what happens tonight, Monday Night Football, we record on Mondays, are going to be on the top of the NFC North, currently at 3-0. If they beat the Giants at home tonight, which I honestly think they will be 4-0.
Right, yes, that game is, I believe, underway. Yep, looks like 3 minutes have gone by in the first quarter. Currently no score between the Vikes and the New York Football Giants.
All right, here we go. I have a fun game for you. So there's only been 6 receivers who have gotten over 300 yards in a NFL game. Okay. Julio Jones is one. I want to see if you can name any of the other 5. This is difficult. I have some hints that I could give you. But I'm going to see first cold turkey if you want to guess just the names. I'm not going to ask you for games or anything.
Okay. Well, no. One I've actually seen part – I saw part of that game live. Calvin Johnson, I think 3 years ago, had over 300 yards.
Wow, nice. Yeah, 2013, October 27th, Calvin Johnson had 329 yards for the second most receiving yards in an NFL game ever.
Gosh, the other ones
– The rest are pretty tough. I mean, 2 are in the 80s. The rest are in the 50s.
The 50s?
Yeah.
Man, okay. Well, if it's 50s, I feel like I have to say Don Hutson?
Nope.
No? Okay. Let me see if I might be able to get the 2 in the 80s. Now, because we're talking about wide receivers, I feel compelled to say Jerry Rice, even if it's not an answer.
You'd be close. Jerry Rice is number 8 on the list. 289 yards was his highest receiving games in 1995, but he's not in the top 5.
Okay, interesting.
This is real tough. I'm going to give you one more guess, because I don't know if you'd ever get this. 2 in the 80s, actually 1 in 1950 and 1 in 1945.
1945, oh man, that's World War II.
A game between the Cleveland Rams and Detroit Lions.
The Cleveland Rams.
The Cleveland Rams.
Boy, yeah.
And this is actually a player on the Cleveland Rams. Number 1 is 336 yards. November 26th, 1989, Flipper Anderson.
That's a great name, Flipper Anderson.
Perfect. Playing for the recently returned LA Rams. 3 is Stephon Page in December 22nd, 1985. Jim Benton, as we all know, got 303 yards November 22nd, 1945, playing for the Cleveland Rams.
Uh-huh.
And then Clois Box, which I guess is someone's real name, got 302 yards for the Detroit Lions. Man, the Lions are everywhere on this list. He's actually plays for them December 3rd, 1950.
That is really interesting.
And yeah, then we got Julio Jones there at number 6 with
300. And you know, there's when I was talking about how, the rules favor the offense. They weren't even getting that, you know, look at all those results are in the 50s. I mean,
that to Jim Benton.
Yeah.
November 22nd, 1945.
For the Cleveland Rams. Well, that's some good stuff. I never would have thought that many answers would have been pre Super Bowl era. I mean, half of those were. So
that is very surprising.
That's very surprising.
All right. Well, let's look forward to next week, returning to the Packers. As we said, we will be playing the New York Football Giants. I believe that's away. Is that correct? We're playing in New York.
Remember, we are.
That's right. This is our big homestand
against Detroit. We had our bye week, and now we have another 3 home games. So this is the first of that 3-game stretch.
That's right. The Packers will not leave Wisconsin until Halloween, I think.
That's correct.
All right, so they're home. New York Giants, as we said, the Giants are playing tonight. We'll play the Minnesota Vikings, so we won't know specifics on if anyone gets injured tonight or anything of that sort. But they have looked good overall. What are your thoughts on this game overarching? Then we'll get into specific things to watch for.
Yeah, so the Giants are interesting. I was looking at their schedule so far, and the games they have played, they beat the Cowboys week one, 20-19. Then they beat the Saints in week two, 16-13. Then they lost to Washington last week, 29-27.
Crumbled. They had that game in hand, and in the second Washington, to their credit, turned it around. But, I mean, the Giants let them turn it around.
Yeah, they definitely did give that one away. I find that interesting because all their wins and losses were by three points or less. So lots of close scrapes for the Giants so far this year. And then looking at news about them, just looking at some of their ranks, right now, three games, again, this is the data we have so far. They have the sixth overall offense in the league, fifth in passing, 18th in rushing. And so, obviously, they are, you know, so far they've been able to move the ball pretty well on the offensive side. Now, the defensive side is interesting because this is, I kept hearing the phrase $2 million defense when reading things about the Giants. So, this last offseason, well, I guess I should start here. In 2015, the Giants had the 32nd ranked overall defense. For those of you who don't know how many teams are in the NFL, that's dead last. And they had the worst. Also had the 32 ranked passing defense, which, again, is dead last, and the 24th ranked rushing defense. So they had a terrible defense, and so they decided, well, we're going to fix this through free agency, and spent a grand total, when you add up all the contracts and the total payouts, $2 million. They signed cornerback Janoris Jenkins from the Rams. They signed defensive lineman Olivier Vernon from the Dolphins, defensive tackle Damon Harrison from the Jets, and then they signed linebacker Keenan Robinson from the Redskins.
Do you mean 200 million? That's what it says on the show notes, or 2 million?
I do mean 2 million. I wrote 200 million. Okay. I know NFL contracts are big, but that's a little ridiculous.
I was a little surprised by that. I just wanted to clear that out for my own sake.
Yes, no, it is 2 million. $2 million defense. That's why I said that's not what I wrote. So
sorry to point out that your show notes were wrong, but I was reeling in confusion.
your role was upside down. And then in addition to those four major signings, they re-signed Jason Pierre-Paul and linebacker.
The clubbed wonder.
Wonder.
Is that mean?
Well, I mean, he did blow off his own hand with a firework, so, I mean, I don't know. Probably wouldn't say it to his face because he could probably kick your butt, but, you know, unless he's listening. Jason Pierre-Paul, if you're listening, I'll give you Andy's address after the show. You can track him down and beat him up.
Well, that seemed an unnecessary step. I thought you were going to apologize, but no, just throw me to my beaten-up doom.
Yes, your beat-down doom. And then they also re-signed linebacker Jasper Brinkley, who I recognized that name when I saw it because he was actually a draft pick of the Vikings back in 2009. So they signed four new guys now. Probably the biggest sign. Well, they paid the most money to Olivier Vernon. Because I read that over the last 3 years with Miami, he had 25 and a half sacks. So he's, you know, obviously been able to generate pass rush, which is something the Giants lacked last year. Again, they didn't have Jason Pierre-Paul for most of the year because of his hand, and their other pass rushers did not get it done. So that was their primary concern. Jenkins was the guy they paid the second most amount of money to. I think he was a 2012. Actually, most of these guys all were from the 2012 draft. At least the free agents were. So thus far, the fruit of their $2 million spending spree has yielded some results, at least in the early season. They're 10th overall in defense so far, with ranked 15th in passing and 5th versus the run. So, yes, they spent a lot. So, actually, you know what? I'm gonna go back and say that actually $200 million is, in fact, correct. So I wrote the right thing. I said the wrong thing. I just thought that.
Oh, man. Everyone is confused now. No one knows what we're talking about. 200 million.
200 million. Yes. Between all the. Well.
So they're counting all the years on every single contract and probably adding up incentives. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Well, here's the thing. Yes. Yeah, so Janoris Jenkins, they signed him for 5 years, $62.5 million. Olivier Vernon, 5 years, $85 million. Damon Harrison, 5 years, $46.5 million. And then Keenan Robinson, 1 year, $2.6 million. And then they re-sign JPP for 1 year and $10 million, and then they re-signed Jasper Brinkley for 1 year and $1.8 million. So,
do you mean JPP, the clubbed wonder? Is that who you're talking about?
JPP, the clubbed wonder. Yes, okay. that is to whom I'm referring. So yes, it is a $200 million defense, not $2 million. $2 million is actually, it sounds like a lot of money to you and me, but that's a pretty small contract. And then
sounds like a lot of money to you. To me, $2 million, you know,
whatever. You light your cigarettes with $200.
Right. I mean, that's my mattress padding.
So far that huge spending spree they went on seems to be paying off so far.
At least the point of all this is their defense looks pretty good.
Their defense looks much better than it did last year. So, and again, they're very good against the run. Fifth best in the league, so we'll see if Lacey can maybe knock them down a few pegs in the ranking. But their defense looks good, their offense is good. Again, overall ranks, they're in the top 10 for both. So when we played them in the past, in the recent past, it's the last 5 years, they've always been a tough opponent. Obviously, the last two times that the Packers were on the cusp of what many people thought were a Super Bowl season, I should say, you know, in 2010, obviously won the Super Bowl, but the two seasons before that, where it seemed like the Packers had the best chance, you know, in 2007 when they played the Giants in the NFC Championship game, the Giants beat us in overtime, and then actually the season after the 2010 season when they were 15-1, they lost to the Giants in the divisional round. But even the regular season, most of the time the Giants have been pretty tough. There have been a couple blowouts that they've dealt us in the last 3 years. So they usually play the Packers pretty tough. So this should be a very close and exciting game.
By the way, everyone, that was all off the top of Jake's dome. This is not on the show notes that I have in front of me. So just let's bask in the awe of remembering those specifics for a moment.
Well, football stuff, once I know it, I can't unknow it. So it's just in there forever. Now, this, like I said, it should be a close game. Should be an exciting game. You know, the Giants, we'll see how they do tonight, and we'll look at the injuries that they possibly could sustain tonight. Also, the Giants do have some people out of tonight's game against Minnesota. So we'll see if they do, in fact, return next week when they play the Packers.
Let's talk about the area that I think is going to be the matchup to watch here, and that is the Packers' so far lackluster pass defense, especially considering Shields is probably, as we said, still going to be out, going against Odell Beckham Jr. and opening candidate for Rookie of the Year. Oh, his name just escaped me.
Sterling Shepard.
Sterling Shepard, who's looked really, really good. I am very nervous about that matchup, especially with the Giants probably passing more than they would with Rashard Jennings out and Shane Vereen.
You're right on the money here.
As usual. I don't know why you're sounding, of course, you know, surprised. Well,
I didn't say, you know, unlike most times or in a weird twist of fate, I just said you're right on the money. That's just a neutral statement.
Well, now you said it. It's kind of hurtful.
Don't get all offended. Jeez. But yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. This is the biggest match. If the Packers want to win this game, this is the matchup they need to dominate, or at least, you know, come away not like they had the last couple weeks against the Vikings and Lions. If Odell Beckham Jr. has 200 yards receiving, I would be surprised if the Packers win this game. Not only is, you know, they have him, they also have Sterling Shepard, like you said, who is probably one of the early candidates for offensive rookie of the year. Has looked really good so far. And then Victor Cruz, who has come back from some long-standing leg injuries that he's had the last couple years, injury issues. He's looked pretty good so far as well. So that's a pretty potent top three that we'll be dealing with our, once again, depleted secondary. Now, hopefully we'll have Morgan Burnett back for that game. Again, he did practice today, so it's looking like that will be the case. But if Shields could somehow make it back, that would give us our best chance, obviously, but it looks like we will again have to go into that game with, you know, without him. So it will be nerve wracking to see how it goes, because it wouldn't surprise me if this turns ugly as it has the last 2 weeks for Green Bay.
I would even venture as far as to say expect it. I mean, hope for the best. I'm thinking the Giants are gonna tear us apart through the air and it's gonna be a shootout. That's my thought on this game.
You know, that can very easily happen. We've had several shootout games with the Giants again in the recent past, so it won't surprise me at all. And through the air is especially pertinent because, as you alluded to, or as you mentioned briefly, the Giants have lost Shane Vereen, who they signed from the Patriots last year. He has a torn biceps or a torn triceps, so he is out for the year, will not be back. And then Rashad Jennings, who was their starter before they signed Vereen, he's out for the, or I guess there's a chance he could play tonight against the Vikings. I'm not watching the game right now, so I don't know if he is in fact playing. They said he has a chance to play tonight. So I don't really, I think every team probably defines that differently. So we'll see what that means. But there's a good chance he won't be 100% if he plays against Green Bay, which means that they would have to turn to Orleans Darkwa. There's a name for you.
That's an excellent name. Props. And, Orleans parents, way to go.
I do like Darkwa. That sounds like a Sith Lord, like Master Darkwa.
I was thinking Darkwing Duck.
Oh, that's even better. Huge yep. Props for that reference. That's fantastic.
By the way, that game tonight is 6 minutes left in the first quarter. Vereen has not had a carry, so I'm guessing he's inactive tonight.
Well, Vereen's out for the season. What about Jennings?
Oh, excuse me. That's what I meant. Okay. Jennings has not touched. So far, it is Darkwing Duck with 3 carries for 14 yards.
Okay. I like that. We're just gonna call him. So from here on in, Orleans Darkwa is now Darkwing Duck, in case you get confused.
Exactly.
They also have Bobby Rainey, who I think they signed from Tennessee a couple years ago. He, again, is more of your third down receiving back, blitz pickup guy.
Currently has one reception tonight for 11 yards. So there you go. Spot on analysis.
Doing what he does. So those will be the two main guys in the backfield most likely when we play them next week. So again, they're going to rely on their pretty good stable of receivers that they have. Well, pretty good. I mean, Odell Beckham's arguably a top 5 receiver in the league, probably top 2. So yeah, they'll definitely be moving through the air, especially when, if they're watching game film on us, which I guarantee you they are, they're saying, "Oh, look at Marvin Jones, look at Stephon Diggs. They had career games against the Packers. Let's keep doing that." So, could get ugly. It probably will get ugly. Hopefully their pass defense will revert to 2015 and we can also shred them through the air. But this game could be, it's one of those games where it could be 35-35 by halftime. So it could be a wild one as far as offense.
Very, very possible. All right, let's get to the meat of the issue here. What are you thinking for this game? Give me a prediction. And I want to remind those at home listening that I have so far crushed every single Packer game, calling it incredibly accurately. The other host has not. But go ahead. You give me.
I like how you say the other host. I'm right here. Okay. Now, Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, but in our first episode, didn't you pick the Giants to win this game?
I believe so. I was actually looking for that. I don't have my predictions with me, but I believe so.
Okay.
It was one of the early season losses that I predicted.
Originally, I predicted the Packers were going to win. Obviously, I did change my one prediction with the Vikings, and that turned out to be my one misstep thus far. I'm going to say, now, some of this, of course, is dependent on what player, if Matthews is 100%, obviously that gives us a much better chance to win. If Burnett's 100%, and so on and so forth. However, I think the Packers are going to win this game. Mike McCarthy has a great record coming out of the bye week. I believe he is 8-2 in games after the bye week, last year being one of the exceptions when we lost to Denver. But I think the Packers do win this game. I do think it won't be pretty. We're probably going to give up a lot of points. I would still expect that trio of receivers for the Giants to all have pretty good games. I think that the difference is going to be the Packers will be able to run the ball, even with the Giants having the fifth-ranked run defense. I still think we'll be able to run the ball better than they will be able to run against us, because, again, we have the league's top-ranked run defense. Don't have their starter and maybe not their first backup. So I think that's going to be the difference in the game, is the Packers are going to gain more yards on the ground. The defense will be able to do just enough. We might only win by one touchdown like we did last week, when all was said and done against Detroit, but I think that Burnett probably coming back, I think that we will be able to pull through and win this game against the New York Football Giants. What do you think?
The New York Football Giants. Do you got me? You give me a score? You want me to talk first, and then you can think of a score?
Oh, score. I'll say 38-34, Packers.
So a shootout, as we said. Listen, gang. I don't want you to get the wrong impression here. I am a Packer fan, but I am also a realist. I want to be an honest commentator for you. I think this is a nightmare game for the Packers currently where they are at. Going by what we have seen, we have a, let's just say it, a bad passing defense. We are coming up against a strong passing offense. And also on the other side of the ball, our offense has not clicked yet. We had, you're right, a good first half against the Lions. Second half was not good. We didn't get anything going. We were not clicking. That seems, the first half seems more an anomaly than the second half to me. So until the Packers prove me wrong, I got to think that they are a weaker team than we had hoped. I think we lose this game, and I think it is not close. I am going to go 34-21. Packers lose, and we'll be having a very sad conversation next week at this time. I hope I'm wrong, but I just, looking at the team that we have, and looking how the Giants have performed to this point, who knows what will happen tonight, I'm not optimistic. I'm going to stick with my preseason pick.
Okay, 34. Now, that's funny because that's, like I said, the Packers have had a lot of games like that against the Lions, or not the Lions, the Giants in the past, where, you know, it looked like both teams were maybe pretty evenly matched, and the Giants basically, ran us out of the building, basically. I mean, I don't begrudge you your prediction. I think it's very possible that could happen. I just hope that, after having 2 weeks to prepare, I hope that the defense does, in fact, make a strong showing in this game. But we'll see. That's the beauty of it. We won't know, who knows. At this time next week, I could look a genius, and maybe Andy will not look so smart. Or it could be after the Vikings game where I didn't look so smart and Andy looked more smarter than me.
Thank you for proving your point there.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's hope for the best, plan for the worst. That's what we're telling you here to do.
One thing that is in the game notes I didn't point out is that the Giants are also dealing with some injuries in their defensive backfield. Now, again, we don't know their status for next week's game yet, obviously, because it's still a week away. But that could be something to watch during the week. I know one of them is not playing tonight against the Vikings, so that would be Eli Apple, who they drafted last year. So they could be depleted on the defensive backfield side as well. So that's something that we'll have to keep an eye on. Giants next week. And then next up after that is a game against our 90s rivals, the Dallas Cowboys.
I think that, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that later. I think we're going to wrap this up.
Everything in its time.
What time is the game next week? Let's tell our listeners so they...
That is actually the Sunday night football game next week, oddly enough.
Oh, that's nice. A second one of the season already.
Yeah, in four games we've already played. We're going to be playing half our games on NBC already. So one more after that. The game against the Redskins on November 20th is also a Sunday night game. So the Packers got three of those, which usually means you're a pretty good team if they're putting you on national TV. So hopefully we don't disappoint the national audience.
That's it. Hopefully, if we're lucky, we'll get Al Michaels singing our favorite song. And with that, we'll go out to Al Michaels, or me being Al Michaels, singing to you, our lovely fans. Sunday night, Sunday night, Sunday night.
All right, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Coon.